So, Danny, did you know about the studio's work beforehand?
Well, I come from Manchester, and I often I live in London now, but I often go back to Manchester. And when Manchester got the Commonwealth Games in 2002, I missed it because I was away filming, which was heartbreaking. So when I was asked to do the Olympic Games, I was like, I was doubly thrilled, you know, because I. But anyway, the Manchester connection is very important because I go to Manchester frequently. And when I saw B of the Bang, the first time from the train, I'd missed the stories about it going up because I'd been away. And I was just mesmerized. And on the train, as you go up to Piccadilly, it's on the right. And I was like, I could not believe it. Well, I think that's what's wonderful about his work is that it's extraordinarily bold in the way that you want designers, architects, you want them to be so bold. And yet, within that boldness, it never passes beyond you. It's always touchable as an idea. And so, like, B of the Bang is just like, for everyone, it's just, everyone relates to it. You know, it's not an exclusive event that you need qualifications to appreciate. And sold true for the Seed Cathedral.
Well, that leads me on to my next question, actually. Could you tell me something more about the original brief for the Cauldron?
Since Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Games, 84, the Games have been, the opening ceremony and the whole event of the Games have tended to be a bit competitive with each other, with their predecessor. So inevitably, you come off Beijing and but for us, it was never a competitive thing because Beijing was so extraordinary, so spectacular that it felt like an end point. It felt like a pinnacle that you could not take off from because there would be no oxygen left for you. And it was a chance to get back to a different starting place and to renew and start again, really. And we wanted to take that opportunity to make the Cauldron, which itself had become something immensely large and spectacular. We wanted to make it more humane and approachable and human scale, I suppose.
And in terms of the actual design for the Cauldron, Thomas, could you describe your original concept for the project and perhaps how that concept links with some of the themes and attitudes that Danny has just been describing?
It felt that it was important to somehow sidestep somehow find a way to move a goalpost or somehow sidestep the obvious next step. And it felt that the Cauldron's, the essence is this flame and there's this spectacular flame. And it's almost a bit embarrassing when the shape that's holding it was just another shape. You know, okay, this is the twisted one or this is the square one and this is the, you know, what style the holder is. It's almost kitsch. It felt that we needed to have an idea that was somehow deeper rather than just a shape. And the discussion with Danny began about what if the flame isn't up, but it has to be massive. The more you lift it up, the bigger it has to be. The more you pull it down, or sort of into the hands of the audience, the more it can be human scale. I've, in general, worked on things which are somehow inanimate. They are a space or a place, but they're not so clearly a moment. So in a way, the bigger issue was designing a moment. So that was interesting to be entrusted with some little chance to think about that by someone who works on moments all the time. And there is this obviousness at a ceremony. You're kind of like, where is it? Come on, where is it? And your eyes panning around the stadium for what's that thing, the big thing. And the flame is going to light that big thing. And so in line with the principle of we start again with what a games really is, it felt like you don't have a big thing. In fact, maybe you don't even have a thing, even a small thing. You have no thing. So the idea that the Cauldron wasn't a mega object from the UK, but somehow was created by everyone coming together and becoming more, it's that thing of many things becoming more than the sum of the parts.